Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day because to an extent that no one ever could have predicted. Well, maybe you could have predicted it, but nobody did. The President of the United States has brought the country together in angry opposition to his new student debt forgiveness program. It is utterly unconstitutional and authoritarian, so says Ben Domenech, who's the editor-in-chief over at The Federalist. He'll be joining us a little bit later in the show. And then there's a question asked by not a conservative, a more liberal columnist named Rick Newman over at Yahoo Finance, Yahoo Business, and he asks a very powerful question. I mean, and it's one that I don't know an answer to. Because I don't think there is an answer to it. It says, if the government bails out college grads, why doesn't it pay off my mortgage? Is that a reasonable question? Is that because the actually paying off his mortgage might be more important to his long-term economic future than giving money to people, basically just dropping money on people, including people who haven't finished their damn college degrees? What use is that? One of the things that is incredibly consistent in all of the studies and all of the data in every bit of empirical knowledge concerning college is that attending college and not finishing, not getting any kind of degree, not a community college degree, an AA degree, which you can get in 2 years, not any kind of BA, not any kind of BS, it doesn't matter. If you just spend a couple of weeks or a couple of months at college and you don't finish. And yet we are now providing literally billions of dollars. It could come to trillions of dollars when the cost of all this is finished for one segment of the population that represents a minority of people. I mean, this is incredible stuff. And it is nutty too. The Atlantic points out most people don't go to college. And the majority of those who do go manage to get out without life-destroying debt. Fewer than 4 in 10 Americans over 25 have a 4-year college degree. Only 13% have any federal student debt. And the average undergraduate leaves college with an obligation about the size of a moderate car loan. And yet we're going to bust the entire country. We are going to stimulate more inflation, and almost surely we are, so that Biden can hope to buy a few extra votes for struggling Democrats. Democrats, of course, are said by many to be encouraged by the voting results in the New York primaries and in the Florida primaries. The one thing that can encourage Democrats, it seems to me legitimately, is not the fact that they won a congressional district that didn't even involve a pickup to them. It was an outgoing Democratic congressman, and now they're going to have another Democratic congressman. Congratulations to Pat Ryan. What the only difference was that across the board, the Democrats who succeeded in Florida and in New York were overwhelmingly people who are called moderate Democrats, people more in the center, in the mainstream of the party. It isn't the crazy woke people. And talking about crazy woke people, what about a new regulation at nightclubs? Really, this is serious, that would prevent people from staring without permission. And the idea that you think that the establishment's proprietors in some kind of night spot can actually enforce a rule about staring, good luck with that. And speaking about staring, there's information about tattoos being carcinogenic. Why? Because of the kind of ink that is being used right here in the United States. We will get to that. And we will also get to a proposal in a very prominent magazine. Actually, it's a Washington Post magazine. A proposal that women should stop doing housework right about now. Should not clean, do laundry, anything, because leisure time, that's 40 minutes a day, less leisure time than men. We will get into that as well on a busy edition of the Michael Medved Show, and we're going to be speaking this hour to Bjorn Lomborg about the Inflation Reduction Act and whether it actually does anything to reduce climate change or to curb climate change. And what could we do that actually could benefit the world, somehow restricting or taming climate change? There is this, and it's front page news in some places. It ought to be front page news all over the country because this would change the way we live. A California plan, says the headline in the New York Times, brings gas cars closer to an end. You like your car? Yeah, I like my car. They're going to be something in history, apparently. California regulators today are scheduled to vote to put in place a sweeping plan to restrict and ultimately ban the sale of gasoline-powered cars, a state official said, a move that the state's governor, Gavin Newsom, described as the beginning of the end for the internal combustion engine. What is this deal? Don't most Americans, and it's not just male Americans, my wife loves her car. What is the deal? We're supposed to be celebrating the end of the internal combustion engine? The new policy detailed yesterday in a news conference is widely expected to accelerate the global transition toward electric vehicles. Not only is California the largest auto market in the United States, but more than a dozen other states typically follow California's lead when setting their own auto emission standards. If those states follow through, and most are expected to adopt similar rules, the restrictions would apply to about a third of the United States auto market. Listen to this. The rule issued by the California Air Resources Board will require that all new cars sold in the state by 2035. Now, 2035 may sound like it's a long way away. It's 13 years. It's not that long. That all new cars must be free of greenhouse gas emissions like carbon dioxide. The rule also sets interim targets, requiring that 35% of all new passenger vehicles sold by 2026, just 4 years from now, produce zero emissions. That requirement then climbs to 68% by 2030. So within 8 years, the overwhelming majority of cars that are allowed to be sold in California will have to be cars that operate all electrically. Does this make any sense? Is it a proper use of government? And that comes into the equation as well, the question about a proper use of government. In terms of paying off college debts, when you're not paying off car debts, certainly not. Not paying off credit cards, which are a huge problem. Not paying off loans that people may have taken for medical emergencies. Not taking off what people pay on their mortgages. The entire matter of the favoritism for people with high college debt that they haven't paid off, where they're already stiffing the government. That is an outrage, which again I think is bringing people together across the political spectrum. 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll-and-go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener's Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Michael Medved show, a little bit of exciting and portentous music from Earth, Wind, and Fire. And yes, we love the earth, we welcome the wind, we've had quite enough fire, and quite enough in the way of fiery crashes. One of the other things, and it puzzles me, Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, remember him? He still has presidential ambitions. He probably will have presidential ambitions for years. He's a young, young guy. He has just declared that we are facing a national crisis that we didn't even know about. At least probably most of us didn't. A national crisis of traffic fatalities and serious injuries on our roadways. After going down for years and years and years because we make safer cars and we've cracked down on drunk driving and the rest of it. And, yes, we've even disciplined Paul Pelosi, the husband of the Speaker of the House, for some drunk driving. He had a crash, thank God, non-fatal. But the increase in fatalities, the increase in roadway accidents is staggering. And it's also, people are saying, a reflection of structural racism. Asian drivers have about one-fifth the rate of fatalities as black drivers. And I know there are jokes that people make about Asian drivers being very cautious, but it pays off here. We will get to that because I think it's important and it's puzzling. But meanwhile, Charlie Crist has been in the news because he won the Florida primary. He's going to be running against Ron DeSantis, who's in the news all the time. And Charlie Crist was asked a very direct question. He was asked about whether he would welcome Joe Biden coming to Florida to campaign for him. And the fact that Joe Biden lost the state of Florida, and he lost it by about 3 points. He lost it by a bigger margin than Hillary lost it. Trump won both in 2016 and 2020. And this is Charlie Crist talking about Joe Biden's presidency. And it's just kind of different, you think? Listen.
Will we be seeing you in Florida? Do you want President Biden to come and campaign with you?
Absolutely. Listen, look what Joe Biden's done for our President Biden, forgive me, has done for our country. He's been exceptional. Look what he's done for the world. I mean, what's happening in Ukraine, him bringing NATO together, new members to NATO, Finland, Sweden. It's remarkable. The EU. I mean, what other president could have done what he's done? He's been phenomenal. Gas prices are down. Inflation is trending down. Democracy is trending up. I'm running against a guy who's against democracy. He doesn't support mail-in ballots. He doesn't support African-Americans and their right to vote. Joe Biden supports all of that. He's a good man. He's a great man. He's a great president. I can't wait for him to get down here. I need his help. I want his help. And he's the best I've ever met. I know this man. He offered me his lunch when he was campaigning for me a couple of years ago down in Florida. I only eat one meal a day. I try to stay fit. I'm an old quarterback from Wake Forest. But seriously, this man is a great man. Thank God Joe Biden's the president of the United States today. Thank God for that.
Don't we want to put some romantic music behind that to make that work better? Jeremy is right. Chris Matthews, if you remember him, talked about getting a tingle in his leg listening to Obama speaking, if you recall this. This is, but you don't normally hear this level of enthusiasm about about Joe Biden. Who knows? I mean, Charlie Crist is running in Florida, and I guess he assumes that the only way to have a chance against DeSantis is to exalt Joe Biden, and maybe he will come down and campaign for Charlie Crist. And the idea that basically DeSantis wants to stop black people from voting, that is one of the priorities that he has. Look, there will be issues, and it will be, given Charlie Crist's level of enthusiasm at least, there will be some kind of a competitive race, which I do expect that Ron DeSantis will win overwhelmingly. Okay, first off, let me get to this piece, and it's an important piece today by David Leonhardt over at the New York Times. And he writes what I think everybody would believe. Vehicle crashes seem as if they might be an equal opportunity public health problem. Americans in every demographic group drive, after all. If anything, poor families tend to rely more on public transportation and less on car travel. Yet vehicle deaths turn out to be highly unequal. Lower income people are much more likely to die in crashes, research shows. The racial gaps are also huge, even bigger on a percentage basis than the racial gaps on cancer. The unequal toll from crashes is particularly notable right now because the U.S. is experiencing an alarming increase in vehicle deaths. Pete Buttigieg, the transportation secretary, recently called it a national crisis of fatalities and serious injuries on our roadways. And the toll is falling most heavily on lower-income Americans and Black Americans in particular. The reasons for the increase remain somewhat mysterious, but the consequences are clear. More than 115 Americans have been dying on the roads on an average every day this year. Not so long ago, the trend in car crashes was a good news story. I remember that. You do too, probably. The death rate began to fall in the early 70s, thanks in large part to the consumer movement started by Ralph Nader. Cars became safer. States passed seatbelt laws. Drunken driving became less common. The declines continued into the early 2010s. As airbags became standard and vehicles began to include technology to prevent crashes. But the situation changed around 2015 with the death rate mostly rising over the next several years. One reason seems to be distracted driving. By 2015, two-thirds of U.S. adults owned a smartphone, up from almost none in 2006. The U.S. has also been less aggressive about cracking down on speeding than Britain and some other parts of Europe, and vehicles here tend to be larger. The engorgement of the American vehicle, as Gregory Schill of the University of Iowa has called it, can kill pedestrians and people in smaller vehicles. These patterns help explain why death rates have fallen substantially more in other countries than in the U.S. during recent decades. So what else is behind that? We'll talk about that and talk about the future of cars, climate change, and the Inflation Reduction Act. It's claimed to make the biggest difference ever in fighting climate change. We'll talk about that with Bjorn Lomborg, climate change expert, coming up on the MedVet Show.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A top Fed Reserve official said he'd toss a coin to decide on a potential interest rate hike next month. Speaking to the Wall Street Journal, Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic says he's unsure how much the central bank would raise rates. Specifically, he was talking about either a half point or three quarters of a point increase. Investigators say the McKinney fire in California was potentially sparked by a 60-foot-tall ponderosa pine leaning on power lines. The largest fire in the state, burning over 60,000 acres and killing four people, is still under investigation. A federal judge is getting ready to decide if the affidavit used to execute the search warrant at former President Trump's home in Florida will be unsealed. This comes after the Justice Department submitted its proposed redactions. USA Radio News.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it's always a pleasure and an honor to welcome Dr. Bjorn Lomborg, who researches the smartest ways to do good, and particularly to deal with one real challenge for the future, climate change. He has written a powerful piece in the Wall Street Journal that goes along with some of the themes in his book, which is called False Alarm. It's posted in on our website at michaelmedved.com. And he's written a piece about some of the ecstatic claims about the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, the greatest legislative achievement of all time, according to its enthusiasts. It actually is the greatest legislative achievement of the Biden administration. Bjorn, you make the point that with all of the hoopla and all of the excitement, this is not going to have a major impact on some of the measures, the temperature and sea level, which are crucial measures regarding climate change. The impact is going to be less than enormous. Is that right?
Yes, I think that might be understating it point a little bit. It's great to be here, Michael. So if you've noticed, a lot of the rhetoric is, oh, we're going to cut U.S. emissions to 40%. But what it actually means, it's a lot less, because even with no legislation because of fracking, the U.S. would probably have reduced its emissions about 30%. But now it will cut some emissions. But, of course, it's not emissions that actually affect our lives. It's, you know, what's the temperature impact? It's kind of strange that none of the people in the administration is actually telling you, so how much is this going to affect the actual things we care about, like, for instance, temperature? I just took what they say it will reduce its emissions, put it into the UN climate model, the one that all UN climate panel reports have used, and got out what will it actually do to temperature. It turns out that in the optimistic case, that is, it continues to cut the rest of the century, way after money has run out, it will reduce temperatures by less than 3/100 of a degree Fahrenheit by the end of the century. But more likely, if the emissions reductions stop after the money runs out, it will only reduce temperatures by less than 1/1000 of 1 degree Fahrenheit. You will literally not be able to measure the impact in 100 years. I think somehow we ought to know that this is spending a lot of money on getting virtually no climate impact.
Okay, meanwhile, we have today the announcement and the vote by the bureaucrats in California that they are going to ban the sale of any new gas-burning vehicles, any of them. That is just banned. I mean, all kinds of drugs legalized, but gas-burning cars illegalized in the state of California starting in 2035, which is not that far away. Would that have a major impact on climate change around the world?
Well, first of all, what you have to understand is that cars globally is about 7% of all emissions. And it's not that electric cars emit no CO2. They emit less CO2 because they're a little more efficient. And so they probably emit, you know, they emit more CO2 when their batteries are produced typically in China with coal fire. But on the other hand, they run on less fossil fuels when they're actually running on the roads. But fundamentally, this will cut some CO2, but at a very, very high cost. Remember, the current projections from Biden's own administration, so the Energy Information Administration, estimate that if we just continue with no more legal interference, by 2050, the U.S. will still just have 13% of its cars being electric. 74% of new vehicles sold in 2050 will still be gasoline. What that tells you is most people want gasoline cars because they drive longer, they're cheaper, they're more efficient, you can recharge them much faster, you just go to a gas station and get it. Now, if you have amazing innovation, maybe that can change. But otherwise, you actually have to bar people from doing this, make it illegal, as you point out. That's probably not going to survive a democracy. You're probably not going to keep voting for politicians who tell you, no, you can't have the car you want. You can only have an electric car that's much more costly. Or we'll have to, you know, just keep pushing lots and lots of subsidies. And remember, of course, you can get more people to buy electric cars if you're given $7,500. You still can't get them to enough. But even that would cost in the order of $30 to $300 billion a year. That's money we don't have. And so you can't just hand them out at, you know, malls and supermarkets and say, see, we got everybody to have an electric car. You actually have to get electric cars to be better than gasoline cars. And then, of course, everyone will switch.
Okay. In terms of the switching, and you acknowledge that it would reduce emissions somewhat, do you think that, let's say they're able to bring this off in California, and that 12 years from now there will be no more sale of new cars that operate on gasoline? Now, of course, what they don't tell you is that not everybody drives a new car. There will be lots of cars on the road still that use gasoline. Do you think that the people who live in Los Angeles or San Francisco area would notice a difference in the climate, in the air quality, in the quality of life environmentally because of this kind of really draconian legislation banning all gas-burning vehicles? Will people feel it?
As you point out, first of all, most of the cars will still be gasoline in 2036 and onwards, because there's still lots and lots of legacy cars. It also seems like California will still have to accept that people buy them out of state, which actually may just simply undermine the whole effort. But let's assume that there'll be more and more electric cars in California. The local air will be cleaner because they won't be emitting as much particulate pollution. However, what you have to remember is electric cars are also much heavier, and a new study in Nature magazine showed that that means that they're going to kill more people in accidents. It's very likely that almost everywhere they will kill more people in accidents because they're heavier and hence more likely to kill in any one given accident, that they will kill more than the reduction in climate change will be a benefit. And then, of course, they will also actually make everyone poorer because you have to now buy a more expensive car that is less of what you wanted. And of course, if you're going to have all these cars, you also need something to charge them with. How are you going to do that? I'm sure a lot of Californians believe that you can just put up more solar panels, but most people want to, you know, charge their cars at night. And that could very well mean that you would end up to have to put up more fossil fuel power plants. And of course, that would possibly make air pollution much worse. There was a study in Shanghai that actually showed if you switch over to electric cars, sure, they wouldn't pollute, but the new power plants that would provide their power would actually kill many more people than the reduced air pollution from the electric cars would reduce the number of people dying.
Bjorn, if you can hang on, I would love it if you could clarify something that people have been talking about incessantly, which is the flooding around the world. And the idea that this is a climate-related catastrophe. And then you can look at the history books. Some of the worst floods in the human history have actually occurred in the 1800s and the 1700s. Is flooding a sign of rampaging and out of control climate change and global warming? We will get more from Bjorn Lomborg, author of False Alarm from the Copenhagen Consensus. We'll be right back. Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Grovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special MedVed history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a MedHead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on MedVed History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it, and commercial free. MedHead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a MedHead Plus member as soon as you can.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
And on the Michael Medved Show, we have an anomalous situation in the world. We are shown pictures, of Lake Mead in Nevada, where the water level is way below what it used to be. The same thing is true of the Great Salt Lake in Utah, and water levels going down in terms of fresh water. At the same time, we have disastrous flooding, and disastrous flooding around the world. It is occurring pretty much everywhere. But then USA Today ran an interesting list of the greatest floods in human history, as far as we can tell. And there were, for instance, a Brazos River flood in Texas in 1899. And there are 284 people who died. And it was a devastating flood. Bjorn Lomborg writes about natural disasters and about the actual fact that most natural disasters have been going down in terms of their devastating impact because we're much better at dealing with such calamities. What about the concern about flooding and climate change? Is it certain that we're going to continue to have more and more problems with devastating floods?
So that's actually such a hard question that it turns out that the UN Climate Panel in its last report says, we don't really know. I'm just quoting from there. You gave me 3 minutes so I could find the correct quote. In summary, there is low confidence in the human influence on the changes in high river flows on the global scale. They simply tell us we don't know, and it's very hard to predict. Actually, there are some studies that indicate we are seeing less being inundated by floods, not more. But crucially, and as you also mentioned, many, many fewer people are affected and are killed by floods. So we've seen a dramatic decline in the level of number of dead from floods, as we've seen in general. And this is simply because we're much better able to tackle this. We're richer, we're more resilient, we have better predictive opportunities. And that's why you're very badly served when you only see all of these scary stories, but you don't actually hear what's the sum of all of those scary stories. That's one of the points that we've talked about before. If you look at the number of people who have died from all kinds of climate-related damage, not just floods, but storms, wildfires, extreme temperatures, and droughts. If you look at all of the people who died over the last 100 years, it turns out that we have seen a decline from the 1920s to 2021 of more than 99%. We've dramatically reduced it. It used to be about 500,000 people dying every year. Last year, it was less than 7,000 people. So we got to get our understanding right. Yes, flooding is still a problem along with all the others. There's certainly a lot of news stories about this. Actually, we don't know, and the UN climate panel can't tell us as clearly that this is going to be a much bigger problem. They say some places it will be a bigger problem, some places it'll be a smaller problem. Actually, the U.S. Southeast is not going to be a bigger problem. It's probably going to be a smaller problem. But fundamentally, we are being told a very wrong story if we're just thinking, oh, here's one example, here's another example, and that is the outcome of it. No, overall, we've seen dramatic declines in impacts, both in terms of people dying. Also, we've seen a reduction in the impact, in the economic impact of floods in the U.S. from 1903. We have data from 1903 where the average damage cost was about 0.5% of U.S. GDP every year, to now it's less than 0.08% of U.S. GDP. So much, much lower damage.
Okay, in terms of that lower damage, you're one of those people, and I think this is what's so impressive about your work, and people will get the idea when they read False Alarm, your most recent book, that there is a whole slate of activities that the world could undertake that could reduce suffering, that could actually give people a better chance at meaningful lives and meaningful choices. But most of them do not involve these huge and systemic climate-related reforms that are being demanded by people on the left. What's a couple of examples of the kinds of things that humanity could take on right now to reduce suffering in the future?
So, look, I'll start out without answering the other part of the question. Yes, we should do smart stuff with climate, and that can help, but we very easily, as you pointed out, end up wasting lots and lots of money and doing very little, as, for instance, with the Inflation Reduction Act, and with, you know, banning electric cars in California. But if you look at it, a lot of people are talking about the fact that people are dying more from heat. We're seeing more heat waves, and we're also seeing more people dying from heat. Actually, it turns out that's really, really simple. I mean, first of all, make sure people get rich enough to actually afford air conditioning. But also, make cities greener, make cities more water features, less black surfaces. One of the reasons why most cities are much, much warmer than their surrounding countrysides is because they have little water features, little greenery, lots of black surfaces. If we simply change that, and that would also make cities more beautiful, it's very cheap, you can do it, you know, from one year to another, it would reduce heat wave temperatures. We've modeled this, for instance, in London, by up to 18 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a much, much bigger thing, much quicker, much cheaper, much more effective. And, of course, the other thing you have to remember when people talk about heat and cold death is many, many more people die from cold than from heat. Globally, a new estimate from The Lancet estimate that about 500,000 people die from cold. Sorry, 500,000 die from heat, but 4.5 million people die from cold. Now, you can do something about heat by getting people access to air conditioning. It turns out it's much harder to do something about cold because you actually need to make sure that poor people, and especially old poor people, are able to keep their homes heated all the way through winter. This is becoming increasingly hard as climate policies make energy more expensive. So we're actually seeing a situation where the U.S. has reduced its heat death dramatically over the last century, mostly because of air conditioning. But we're seeing increasing cold deaths in the U.S. because increasingly people can't afford to pay for heating. So the simple point is maybe you should just stop making energy fantastically expensive with all your climate policies.
And again, should there be a variance in terms of energy prices for the winter time to deal with that and the summer?
I'm probably a little sort of skeptical of trying to steer this too much. You are going to typically have a higher cost in winter simply because more people are asking for more energy. But what we should make sure is that people are not priced out of the market because we are trying to do very costly green energy that actually makes it more expensive for everyone. And then we say, oh, but this is going to solve a little bit of the heat wave problem, but it ends up actually killing many, many more people through cold. There's a great study in the U.S. that showed that when you had fracking, for instance, in the early 2000s, the fracking revolution not only reduced your carbon emissions dramatically because you switched from coal to much cleaner and cheaper gas, but it also meant that people could heat their homes better. Now, not most people don't use gas to heat their homes, but for the people who do, it turns out that the reduced gas prices meant that every year 11,000 Americans don't die from coal deaths. That's an amazing result. And, of course, the outcome of now seeing increasing gas prices, partly because of climate policies, mean that we now have another 11,000 or more people dying every year. So we should keep our energy prices low, and that's probably a much better way to help most people. And this goes for all the different things. You know, so I'm open, terribly astounded when rich, well-meaning people say, look at the people in the third world and say, oh, they live terrible lives and they're going to be impacted by climate change. You know what? I'm going to help them by not driving my car tomorrow. And you're like, what? What they need is help with their kids dying from easily curable infectious diseases, from poverty, from not getting enough food, from having bad education. Get them rich. And that's about helping them out of corrugated roofs and shanty towns into better living with economic development. If you do that, they will be much more resilient and they'll be much better able to deal with all the things that nature throw at them and all the other problems that they're also facing at the same time. So again, it's about getting a sense of proportion.
And there's no better place to lead that sense of proportion, maybe also with a renewal of expansion of a new generation of nuclear power. But that's a different story. Beyond Lomborg, his material posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. And an inspiring guide, actually, for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.